I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. So now, in this scripture, we see how that in the same breath, Ezekiel prophesying about salvation talks about giving us the spirit. So that immediately tells you that receiving the Holy Spirit, all right, is not a different experience from salvation. That means when you got born again, you received the Holy Ghost together. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost was the one that convicted you. The Bible says in the book of John 16 from verse 7 to 9, Jesus says when the Spirit of truth is come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then verse 9, he says, of sin, for they believe not in me. That means you were convicted of unbelief when you heard the gospel. And then when you believed, salvation resulted. It was the Spirit of God that did the job. And when it did the job, it did not dissipate. He had come to stay in you as a seal of the completion of the salvation work. And that we see in the book of Romans 8 verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, it is not possible to be a child of God and not have the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ is what regenerated you. That goes to tell you simply that as a child of God, you have the Spirit of God. It is not a separate experience. In fact, the Bible says in that same Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15 now says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the only reason why you could call God a father, why you could dare to call him a father, is because the spirit of adoption is in you. Adoption means placement into sonship. That means at the very moment you heard the gospel and you believed, you received the gospel, and then you received the Holy Ghost, not as a separate experience, but as the part of the package of salvation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If someone asks you now, are you a child of God? You're going to speak and respond in the affirmative. Why? Because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. There is a knowing beyond head knowledge that tells you you are a child of God, that you are saved. It is the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit. That also goes to further buttress the idea that I'm sharing with you, that if you are born again, it means you have the Spirit. And this is very simple. Very simple. If you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost in you. Open to Ephesians 1. Let me drive it home quickly. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. The Bible says, in whom you also trusted. Are you there? Can you see it on the screen? He says, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Can you see that? After you believed, the moment you heard the gospel, the word of truth, and you believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. And the word sealed there means a batch. It's like the last thing you do when you are doing a production and you are trying to do packaging. It's the last thing you do to show that you are done with the job. So that means now the Spirit of God is a seal of a complete, a consummated process of salvation. That what the Spirit began when you heard the gospel was consummated instantly. Then he makes a powerful statement, which is the basic and the major message for today in verse 14. He says, that Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of promise, he says, it is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, you see, I explained to them in first service. I said the word earnest is an old real estate term. It's a terminology used in real estate. When they say earnest money is like a payment you do as a down payment so as to clear off doubt, so as to clear off uncertainty in the heart of the other party you are entering a business or you are giving a promise to. So now, the Bible is referring to the Holy Spirit as earnest of the Spirit. That appellation given to the Spirit of God means that God, in wanting to promise us, a glorified body, promise us, a blissful afterlife, promise us resurrection, he gives us the Spirit. So that means the Spirit of God in the believer is the proof of resurrection is the proof that he will not be left behind on resurrection. That's what he's saying. That's the idea behind Ernest. So the promise here, all right, the promise here is a new body. And then now, for God to show you that, you know what? Just to clear your doubt that I will not fail in my promise to give you a new body at resurrection. I will not fail my part to resurrect you on the last day. I will not fail my part to make sure that this mortality is swallowed up in, you know, in immortality. To show you that I am serious about this deal, take my spirit. Now, this is even, it's even superfluous to talk about, you know, earnest of the spirit using this example, because the spirit of God in this case is even more expensive than that is what is promising you. See, earnest money, you can Google it, or they call it Aris penny. A-R-I-E-S, Aris penny. They also call it good faith money. All right, in U.S., they still practice it. If you want to mortgage your house, you want to buy a house, you will pay earnest money. That means a down payment to prove that you are serious. The people, the realtor, they will say, you know what, we need earnest money to prove that this house you are trying to argue, you are going to buy. You know, argue now, H-A-G-G-L-E, like you are negotiating. You know, so they will say, pay some amount of money, usually between 1-3% in some part of the U.S. It's just to prove that you are serious about this purchase. So the Spirit of God is referred by being appellated with that same word, earnest of the Spirit, for the purchased possession. That means God is saying, I am going to give you new body. You are going to be raptured. By the way, let me say this. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the Bible teaches on rapture. What people call rapture is what the Bible calls resurrection. It's what the Bible refers to as at the twinkle of an eye. It's what the, so the word rapture, let me give it to you. Rapture is from two words. Rapid departure. Rapture. Do you understand? That means, Apostle Paul says, at the twinkle of an eye. All right? That means before you blink, we'll be changed. That's the meaning of rapture. It also means resurrection. So God is saying the proof, the technology I will use to raise you back from death to life on the last day is the agency of the Spirit. And I want to discuss, I want to just show you something very practical here. But let me do a simple line-by-line exegesis quickly. I did it to them in first service. 2 Corinthians 5, quickly. This screen here, can you help me, media? All right, let me use my phone. 2 Corinthians 5. But church, can you see the two screens? You can you see it? Okay. I can't see mine. Mine is blurry, but I'll use my device. Let's go. 2 Corinthians 5, a quick one, and verse 1. Are you there? Can you all see it? Is it being displayed? 2 Corinthians 5. It's been displayed, right? Verse 1. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Can you see that? He's talking about the new body. He now says in verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Do you understand the play of words here? I don't know if you understand what he's saying. That we shall be clothed with this new body. Then verse 3 says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Listen, Paul is saying, when you got born again, the new creature, the new man in you, all right, your recreated human spirit is groaning to get out of this body. That means he's waiting earnestly for the new body. Why? Because this body is like a cage. It's limiting its ability. So Paul calls our human body, he calls it our body of humiliation. That's why we could get tired. Imagine a whole Jesus, God though in the flesh, was tired. So tired that water was entering into his boat and he was still sleeping. They have to go and meet him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Imagine the master hungry, hoping he will get a fruit from a tree. So these are humanity. Don't see, those are the sincerity of our humanity. And the new man in Christ, the new creature, is groaning, waiting to be clothed with the cloth from heaven. Not with this body. So, and there's a response that God expects of us, because that groaning is, you know, when the Spirit of God came, the first thing you cried was, "Abba, Father." Then the rest groaning is, "Maranatha." The Spirit is groaning that, "Come, Lord Jesus. I'm tired of this body. Come, Lord Jesus." That's why if you see any Christian who is not conscious of the coming of the Lord, you might check, perhaps he's not born again. Because the Spirit does not only cry, "Abba, Father," he also cries, "Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus." Why? Because he's feeling caged. He wants to fly. He wants to explore all its endless possibilities. He wants to flex his muscles, you understand? So he's waiting for that new body that is not limited. So Paul is now saying, he now says in verse 5, "Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God." Look at it. He now says, "He that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit." Can you see? So that means God is saying, "All right, I am promising you this new body from heaven. This immortal body. Now take my Spirit as an earnest payment." That means in order to clear your doubts about me fulfilling my promise, this is my Spirit given to you. Now, let me tell you, this is the biggest thing God can ever give as earnest. In fact, God, in this particular context, is going out of his way to clear your doubt about the hope of resurrection. So the man in Christ will not miss resurrection. Why? Because what God will use to effect resurrection is already in you and is the Spirit of God. Romans 8:11, it says, the Spirit of God in you is what will quicken you, just the way he quickened Jesus from dead. The same Spirit that filled the dead body of Jesus and filled it up with vitality and brought it back to life, that same Spirit is in you. Think about Elisha, a man in the Old Testament that only had activity of the Spirit. The Spirit only came and go. Holy Spirit never dwelt in them. This same man, when he died, his bones raised back the dead. Just because he had few activities of the Spirit as a prophet. But you have the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me use a simple illustration that will help you. How many of you know, how many of you use flat, you know, screen in your house, TV, you know now, popular TV, and then you have a remote. Now, pay attention to this. This remote, all remotes don't work for all televisions, right? Good. So that means a remote is functional to a particular television. Come on, talk to me. Now, if you use a remote and a television responds, it means that there is something inside that television that is connected to that remote that makes it work. I think it uses infrared. Okay, infrared. I'm not too sure. All right. I think it's infrared. All right. So there is something that connects. It's because there's a component in that television that responds to that remote. Good. In the same vein, look up, there is a voice activating technology installed in you at salvation. That when that sound comes at the sound of the trump, all right, your spirit will recognize that sound and then it will charge back. Mortality will be swallowed up. See, unbelievers will not hear that sound because, listen, all remotes don't work for all TVs. So only believers will hear that sound. At the sound of the trump, the Bible says, we shall be changed. We shall put on new body. I told you, I don't want to experience death. I want Jesus to come now. Come, Lord Jesus. Because I want to see it. I want to just be, you know, I wish and I desire God, Jesus should come on a Sunday when I'm preaching. All right? I'll just, we'll just drop the body. Ha! Put on immortality. Hallelujah. Amen forevermore. So that's what it looks like. It is called the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what the Bible calls it. Let me show you. Open to Romans 8, everybody. I know that many preachers have used that scripture for something else, but this is the original immediate contextual use of that word. So this is the time for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right? We have to take the industry and we have to truly. We have to. In fact, in this church, we are going to raise governors, ministers, owners of industries. We're going to raise big-time billionaire business tycoons in this church. This is not a small church. You might be looking at yourself like, listen, A little one among us is 1,000. And a small one is a strong nation. Amen. And there are a dozen and one, more than 101 scriptures that, you know, that speaks about that. But this particular scripture is not referring to that. This particular scripture is talking about immortality. Somebody is wondering, why is pastor teaching this? I told you. And I want you to lay your hands on a scripture, a message I preached, you know, was it last year, on the Holy Spirit. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, I want you to teach some cardinal truth about the Holy Spirit that is not so popular. We have learned so many things about the Holy Spirit, and it's so beautiful. Your boyfriend just broke up with you. Yeah, sorry, the Holy Ghost will comfort you. And he does too, all right? But there are greater priority for the function of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. I am not saying, see, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He guides you. He tells you who to marry. He can tell you. Those are wonderful. But the cardinal major reason why the Holy Spirit is in you, number one, I shared in that series, so go and get it. But I'm picking one out of the four I shared, and that's why I'm expanding it today. The earnest of the Spirit. And it is to seal. It is, number one, a seal to show you that the salvation is a complete work. Number two, he calls in earnest of the Spirit. That means a down payment that God did in order to tell you that I'm coming back to give you new bodies. So the Bible calls it the manifestation of the sons of God. Open to Romans 8 quickly. Romans 8 verse 19. I have to run. I'm really out of time. Romans 8 verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, I can preach 5 hours on this alone. See, it says earnest creature. That means, look up everybody. God never created anything to die. See, God does not, we say, with gratitude to God, we regret to announce the death of... If you are in gratitude to God, why are you regretting that? Do you know what I'm saying? God does not take anybody by death. Death, the Bible says, is an enemy of God. Scripture says the last enemy that shall be crushed is death. So death is not from God. He hates it. He hates it passionately. So even trees, animals, they were not created to die. Are you listening to me? Oh, I wish I had time to explain to you. See, the fall of man affected, see, the fall of man, unbelief of Adam, affected everything because man is the crown of God's creation. Anytime you see tycoon, you see volcano, all those things, the heart is tired. They are crying for the manifestation. Why? They are crying for our manifestation because in our manifestation is their own freedom. See, animals don't like it. Have you seen, do you know that eagles, at the age of, when it gets to 40, there's a storyline that it will go to one place and remove all its wings to renew itself, but later on to spend another 50 years, maybe 90, 100 years, it finally will die. We just go to one high place and die. See, animals die. They grow old. Lions, they grow old and die. You see, they were never created to die. They are also waiting. They are eagerly waiting for our manifestation because our manifestation is what will bring about their liberty. That's what he's saying. Look at it. He says, for the earnest expectation of creature waited. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20 now says, for creature was made subject to vanity. Do you see that? Creature was subjected to vanity, not willingly. This is the result and the effect of Adamic nature, of Adamic fall rather. The unbelief of Adam affected everything. Look at it. It now says, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Do you see that? Our glorious liberty is what will bring about their own deliverance too. Animals, are you listening to me? Trees, they will get their liberty from our own glorious manifestation. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, listen, in the afterlife, all right, listen. The moment the sound, boom, and then we are delivered. From that time onward, trees won't grow old. They won't wither anymore. We are the one that will bring freedom to them. I don't want to go into this because this is a deep teaching that is not a teaching for today. 22 now says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Are you following? Come on, come on. Verse 23 now says, and not only they, but ourselves also. Can you see? Ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, we grow within ourselves, waiting for adoption to wit. The redemption of what? Redemption of what? We too, we are groaning inside. Your spirit, the new man in Christ, the recreated human spirit is groaning for new body, like I showed in 2 Corinthians 5. That is earnestly waiting, is waiting to be clothed with that body from heaven. It's what we call immortality. And you see, this immortality is the only exclusive feature of God. God is the only immortal. The Bible says, Apostle Paul calls him King of Kings. I think in 1 Timothy 6:16, thereabout. He says to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only potentate. He says he dwells in an unapproachable light. Who alone has immortality? God alone has it. This is the exclusive feature of God, and he desires to give it to us at the close of age. And the proof that he's going to fulfill that promise was by giving us the earnest of the Spirit. That means a down payment to clear your doubt of every form of uncertainty in your heart, to be clear of about his decision to give you that immortality. So the Spirit is the down payment. So when you, as a Christian, because you have the Spirit, then you are assured of a blissful afterlife. You are assured of new body. You are assured of immortality. He says, mortality shall be swallowed up by life. He says, we shall put on immortality. He says, this corruption shall be swallowed up in incorruption. Oh, are you following? So, our body is craving. So, and what is it craving for? This will only happen when Jesus comes. So it's crying, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. That's why any Christian, listen, this should be a consciousness for every Christian. You are never to live your life like Jesus is not coming again. Let me be honest with you. He might not be farther than you assume. Somebody might say, but they've been saying it for many years that he will come, he will come, he will come. Listen. He is closer than ever before. And it might just be closer than you anticipate. So the admonition today is, listen, as a Christian, don't live your life by chance. You have to realize, you have to live in sobriety. You have to know that, listen, I have received the seed of the Spirit. My spirit is groaning, expecting the Lord Jesus. So how do you respond to this, Maranatha? How? It's simple. Very simple. Is by taking on the passion of Christ. See, let me tell you, we have been called into the sufferings. We are co-heirs of his sufferings too. You see, many Christians don't like to hear teachings like this. See, look. There is a suffering to share. And the suffering is to take on the passion of Christ. In other words, if Jesus was here on earth, what would he be doing? His heartbeat, his passion would be what? To seek the lost. So any Christian who is not reaching out, who is not evangelizing, who is not missionary, all right, who is not taking on the passion of Christ, listen, if you've never been restless about the lost, it is either of two things. Number one, it is either you are not born again. Because if you're born again, the spirit within you did not only cry, Abba, Father. He's also groaning, you know, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's crying, Maranatha. And so, because of that, you are going to occupy till it comes. And how do you occupy? You're going to take up his passion. You're going to take up his passion. You're going to go after souls. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to use everything in you to get people saved. You're going to go all out. Are you hearing me? You're going to go all out. You're going to put your money where your mouth is. Your time, everything, you're going to make sure You see, at any time T, you can tell yourself, I am out for the soul. Listen, your Facebook page, your status on WhatsApp, you are preaching, you are in the bus, you are preaching, you are traveling, you are on a flight, you are preaching everywhere. That's the true show that indeed you are living in the consciousness of Maranatha. Hallelujah forevermore. I said hallelujah forevermore. See, let me tell you this. Let me use another illustration that will help you about the earnest of the Spirit in us. How many of you know, of course, Captain Michelle's wife is here. Okay, any other person who is inclined in the army. All right, there's this thing they call grenade. I don't know if you know grenade. Okay, you don't know it, don't worry. They say, of course, you are not Boko Haram. What's that? All right. You know grenade? All right. This grenade, it has a pin, a safety pin. It has safety pins. Now, the moment they pull off the pin, all right, and they hold it, all it needs is to pull off. The moment it removes its arm and releases it, it takes between 3 to 5 seconds, it will explode. Now, listen, the Holy Ghost is in you now, and his job is to remind you that the Lord is coming. It's like a grenade that has been, the safety pin has been removed. So now everybody is looking like, it's about to happen anytime from now. Oh. But this time around, the explosion is not destructive, it's constructive. Amen. So the Spirit is like that in us, just like a time bomb, waiting for, boom, we are waiting for the Lord to come. So the Spirit will keep nudging. We'll keep crying, Maranatha. Come, Lord. He's waiting to be delivered. He's waiting for that. He's shouting, Maranatha! And the response to that Maranatha, that cry of Maranatha, is that you take up the passion of God, the passion of Christ. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So the question is, what are you doing with your life? Amen. No, that's a very powerful question. A very powerful question. Because you see, you have to share in his suffering. Look at it. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I might know him, and what? And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, if you don't desire to fellowship in his suffering, it proves that you are not waiting for his glory. You know, in first service, it seems like second service people are more mature. In first service, I didn't say you tell them. What's that? All right. In first service, I told them that I wish Jesus comes now. And I began to see murmurs. I must do wedding. I must buy a car. No, he must not come now. He must not. And you still don't get the point if you're laughing. It means, I have to ask them. I said, does that mean I'm raising a can of people or something? Just jokingly serious. But the point is, listen. Listen up, everybody. Hey, hiya. Until everything in you, your soul, your body, your thinking, all right, everything about you is about soul. It is then you are truly living. It is then you are truly proving that indeed you are waiting for his coming. Romans 8, everybody, a scripture folks don't really pay attention to read probably. Romans 8, verse 17. Just a scripture. Romans 8, verse 17. Are you there? Look at it. It says, and if children, are you children? Come on now. It's like so winning. Are you stirred up? Are you stirred? Come on, are you stirred? Maybe one Sunday I'll just shock you. You just come to church. I'll say, praise God. All right, everybody take pamphlets. We are all going out today. Amen. What's that? I was like, pastor, that day, don't try it. Anyways. All right, Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that what? We suffer with him that it may be what? We may be glorified together. Somebody say, if so be. Say it again. Say it again. Look, maybe it has not made so much sense to you that Jesus is coming back again. It's one of the work of the Spirit in you. One of the work of the Spirit in you is that the Spirit serves like that grenade that the safety pin has been removed and is about to explode. So now you are anticipating that it can happen anytime. In fact, you know, I checked Wikipedia and it says, you know, between 3 to 5 seconds, it will explode the moment the safety pin is removed and the hand is still there on it. The moment the thumb is removed, in 3 to 5 seconds, it will explode. That is the same kind of analogy I can use to explain what the Spirit of God is doing in you. The Spirit of God in you is groaning. Your spirit is groaning by the Spirit of God, saying, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. And your immediate response to that as a child of God is, you will take up the passion of Christ. You will take it up. Let me show you a scripture. Open to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Are you there? Revelation 22, verse 12. Are you there? Look at it. It says, yes, I am on my way. I will be there soon. Oh, is this King James? Give me King James. Look, I will... No, leave it. Let me show you. Yes. Now, this is Jesus talking. He says, yes, I am on my way. I will be there soon. I am bringing my payroll. King James says reward. I will bring my payroll. Go back. 11. Okay, let me read to you. And behold, I am come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Go to verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Go to verse 16. Oh, I like this. Verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel. Angel here is talking about pastor. You remember in Revelation, he called them angels. The angel to the church in Ephesus. So the angel simply means messenger. He's talking about pastors. So he now says, I have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Am I not doing that now? Look at it. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Go to verse 20. Oh, Masa Frate Prete Prehele Fres. Verse 20. He now says, he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. You see it in red letters. That is what Jesus said. He said, surely I come quickly. And what was John's response? He said, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Listen, the response, all right, that a born-again person will have to the message of the coming of our Lord is that he will respond back by saying, come, Lord. See, your spirit is groaning, shouting, Maranatha. And your immediate response here on earth is you will pick up the passion of Christ. All right, you are in a conversation with a friend in school, all right, you will find a way to pilot the conversation around salvation. Look, see, Paul was before Agrippa to be tried, maybe to be killed. All right, before Pontius and before Agrippa, Governor Titus, they were all before him. And guess what? He uses that opportunity to preach the gospel. Do you know what Agrippa said? Agrippa said, listening to you, you almost turned me to a Christian. Many of you don't know what that means. If you have an opportunity with a governor, what will your conversation be? I know, fine. The platform might be different. You might be talking about maybe you are doing a startup and you had the opportunity of meeting a governor and you're talking about your startup and all that and say, okay, the government will help you and all that. But afterwards, what would your conversation be? You know, you are in a vehicle, you know, you're boarding a vehicle from Kefi, all right? Somebody is just talking anyhow, all right? Does it bite you? Does it bite you that, see, if you truly love anyone truly, you will go all out to reach out to them with the gospel. Because listen, in the final analysis, all that will matter is salvation. That's all that matters. 2 Corinthians 5. Quickly. 2 Corinthians 5. Are you there? And verse 10. I want you all to read verse 10 together. Because this should be your approach. You have to listen. The very fact that a master is coming that will pay us reward according to our work, it's enough to be sober. Look at it, verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear." Somebody say all. Say it again. We must all appear before the judgment seat, the Bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether good or bad. That means there will be a reward. There is a day of reckoning. When we say day here in context, we do not mean day and night like you have here. Because listen, time only works here on earth. In heavens, no time. Look at it. Open to 1 Peter 1. Apostle Peter says the same thing. 1 Peter 1. Are you there? 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. First, he says, "Wherefore, guard up." Come and say, "Guard up." Say it again. He says, "Guard up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus." That means revelation of Jesus, saying context, talking about at the coming of Jesus. Guard up. He's saying, guy, don't dull. Don't dull. Don't dull with soul winning. Even the charismatic gift too. Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth, he says, don't come short in no gift. Listen, in other words, this thing will only last for a while. It will only last for this earth. There won't be soul to win in heaven. There won't be bodies to heal in heaven. Don't dull. 30% didn't say don't dull. Don't dull. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 7. I want you to see how Peter is talking here. Chapter 4 verse 7. Look at it. Chapter 4. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. He says, can we all read verse 7 together, everybody in unison? 3, 2, go. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Look, let me tell you. Look up, everybody. Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back. And you see, this message too should be seen differently by believers. Look up. The coming of Jesus back has two implications. Number one, reward unto us. Number two, destruction to those who disbelieve or who did not believe in him. To those who didn't believe in him, it will look like a thief that came in the night. But for you, it tells you to sober. Oh, hallelujah. See, they call you Babatunde in Yoruba. Baba has come again. Is a deception. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that is what? Judgment. Don't be deceived. You have just one life to live, one youth life to live. If you squander this one, that's all. Don't become 60 years old. That's when I start saying, I want to go and, hey, I want to. Have you seen older people who say, hey, give me my youth back, oh Lord. Yeah. This is the time. Use it now. I don't know, some people, you're already feeling sober, and that's good. You should feel sober. Because Bible teaches sobriety. But let me just change the narrative quickly before I close. Open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me close there. 1 Thessalonians 5. Oh, say after me, Jesus is coming again. Say it louder. Open to 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me just do a quick commentary. 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 1 to 11. Then we close. Now, look up, everybody. Look at it. It says, but of the times and the seasons. You know, let me tell you this. I don't want to go into eschatology, not today. There are some things that a church is not ripe to learn yet. So I don't want to bug myself. Just learn the basic things yet. Amen. Amen. Sorry, there are some things I won't teach in the next 5 years. Not because I don't know. See, I have what I will teach you in the next 3 years. I have the sketch already. By the grace of God, I'm a theologian. All right? From Genesis to Nahum, I have my own commentary already. Now, if you know the meaning of what I just said, you hold your hair, say, hey? You know Bible commentary? I have done my commentary from Genesis to Nahum. So, I don't want to go into all of that for now. But let me do a simple Bible commentary on 1 Thessalonians 5 so that you see. So, now, there are some teachings out there about, they will say, there are signs that the king is coming. Those signs have always been there. They've always happened. That's why all those people coming with eschatological theories, they always make a fool of themselves to unbelievers. When Adolf Hitler was fierce with his act, people thought the world would end. It didn't end. Have you heard of Nero before? Even Pharaoh. Do you know Pharaoh is a title? There were different pharaohs, and many of them behaved differently, and people came with different postulations. When last year, when COVID, when I came, Shebi, you started seeing prophets, started seeing the world. Shall you see them? It's because, see, it does not come by observation. They ask him, what shall we see to come? He says, look, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. And the scriptures, the quotes they normally use, I'll preach on it some other day. Matthew 24. He wasn't talking about the last day. The context is Jerusalem. Okay, somebody is pulling some things out of me, but no, I won't let that. Let's go. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Let's go. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So it will come suddenly. Suddenly. But listen, his sudden coming is not for you. He will come, but it won't be sudden to you. Why? Let's go. Now, for when day, somebody say day. Say it louder. Now, he's not talking to you. For they shall say, peace and safety, like, I beg, Moko, enjoy your, which things can Jesus they come? They don't tell us for 2,000 years. No. Osondio, Wendy. Osondio, Wendy, give me beer, I'm a beer. I'm an alienation, I'm a beer. Listen, he says, they will say, let us enjoy. That's what he says. Peace and safety. What happened? Then what? Sudden destruction cometh upon whom? Upon whom? Them. Don't forget, they, them. Let's go. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall what? Who shall not escape? Come on, talk to me. Let's go. Verse 4. Oh, can you hold it? Verse 4. Say it louder. Say it louder again. Of course, everybody understands English. He's been saying they, them. He now says, but you. That means he's been talking about them. He now says, but you. He now says, but you, brethren, are not in the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. That means the coming of the Lord will not be like a thief in the night to you. I just told you. Do you know why? The earnest of the Spirit. The Spirit in you tells you every day. You have not just been responding to it. He's telling you it's like a grenade that has been triggered. The safety pin has been removed. And so the Spirit is alerting your spirit that, look, I'm going to blow up now very soon. That means the Lord is coming soon. There's an activating technology, you know, that works with sound. That the moment the trump sound, boom, your spirit recognizes that sound, then what will happen? Resurrection will take place immediately. Immortality will take place immediately. But like a remote, like I told you, all remotes don't work for all televisions. Unbelievers will not hear that sound because they don't have that software installed in them. Forgive me, I'm talking this way. All right? You see, the Spirit of God is the technology that God will use. See, it's like our jetpack. Have you seen, what is this thing that goes to the space? Rocket. Space rocket. Good. Hush. There's a way they do it. The moment they launch it, the speed it will use, Speed of light, 3 times 10 raised to the power 8 meters per second. That's what will happen. Please sit down. That's what will happen. See, our body will be changed instantly. Those that will be alive at the speed of light. So he says, ye are not the children of the light, but ye are what? All the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So that means the coming of the Lord will not happen to us like a thief in the night. Why? The Spirit of God in us, the essence of the Spirit, all right, is giving us a daily reminder, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Maranatha. The Spirit did not only cry, Abba, Father, at salvation. It's also crying, Maranatha. Why? Because the Spirit is looking out for liberty. He wants to escape this body. This body is a limitation to it. He's not giving him the ability to express himself. The new creature you receive is crying, groaning, waiting for the manifestation of himself. And even creatures, creations, stones, animals, birds, they are expecting our own, you know, manifestation for their own glorious liberty too. They are waiting for our manifestation too. Let's go on. He now says, therefore, let us not sleep. Can you see that? So it teaches you that, all right, that you will not be left behind. It teaches you that, you know, the Spirit of God in you, all right, is the agency through which you'll be resurrected. And it tells you that Jesus' coming will not be like a thief in the night to you. You will not be caught unaware. They are the one that will not hear the sound. The Spirit of God in you, all right, will prompt your spirit in such a way that when the sound comes, your spirit recognizes. We just take off. I mean, bam, 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 bam. As the sound just boom. People just be jetting away. At the speed of light. The guys will be looking, what happened? Hey, Elijah, what? Unbelievers, they don't have that technology. Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him that rose Jesus from death dwells in you, the context is resurrection. It says, that self-same spirit will do what? Will quicken your mortal body. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 14, he says, if we believe that God raised Jesus from death, so shall he also raise you up together with him. So it is by the spirit. So he calls the spirit the earnest of the spirit of the purchased possession. So the body he promised us, the rapture he promised us, the agency. Look, at resurrection, rapture, what you call rapture, God is not going to use anything external to make it happen. What God will use to make rapture happen is already inside in you. It's the Spirit of God. It is that spirit that will quicken your body. It is the one that will effect that immortality. Is one that will effect mortality to be swallowed up in immortality. Is that same spirit? Is that same spirit? Verse 6, let us not all sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Someone says sober. Verse 7, he now says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober. Can you see sober here again? See, sober means to be serious. Don't be carried away. Oh, what a generation. Don't be carried away. Focus. Listen, your primary purpose, whatever you do, however you do, wherever you are, see, you want to buy a car? Yeah. Have car. I have a lot of it because I will have a lot of it, okay? You want to buy jet? But listen, have it. But listen, make sure you don't get carried away. Don't be carried away. And how do you prove you're not carried away? You take on the passion of Christ. And you ensure that in all you're getting, you pilot it in the direction of salvation. Imagine a footballer playing football, scores a goal, removes his shirt and he writes Jesus. You may not know what that means, but that already told you that he has used his own platform to preach Jesus. Do you think Jesus is known everywhere in the world? You don't know. There are people who have not heard Jesus. It will shock you. It will shock you. So you see, use every platform, every opportunity, your money, your finances, your time. Listen, put your life on it. Take on the passion of Christ. This is how to respond to Maranatha. Then he says in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9, look at verse 9, everybody. It now says, for can we all read verse 9 together, everybody? 3, 2, go. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain. Simple. In other words, you will not experience destruction on the day of rapture. It's not for us. Can we read verse 10? Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep. Then what did verse 11 now says? Closely. What did he say? Wherefore? So the message of rapture is to comfort. Let me even tell you the immediate context. Paul was writing to church in Thessalonica about brethren that died because they faced persecution. See, he was telling them that, why are you crying like, say, you don't have hope? Those who die in Christ, there is hope of salvation, and we'll see them in the last day. Do you understand? Did you hear what Paul said? Paul said, if in this life alone we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. He says, why did I fight the beast in Ephesus? Oh, read the whole fame of faith in Hebrews 11. The Bible says, some were given opportunity, all right, to escape. It says they choose not. It says they rather chose resurrection. You don't understand. The kind of persecution that you are in the best generation. I say you are in the best generation. This generation is the best. Do you know what happened to Tyndale, the guy who translated the Bible to English? He was burnt alive. As I speak to you right now, in China, there are some places that they are having underground church. They don't burn you where to cut. And people memorize the Bible in their head, because if they see them with Bible, they will kill them. Are you going to be same even with folks like that? No, I want you to think. I just want you to think. Because see, that's why I love second service. There's time. See, I want you to think. Are you going to heaven with the same set of people? Oh, Dr. Maurice Arulo. He was, I follow him so much. One of my pushers, the guys that pushed me, you know, after the death of Taylor Osborne, I took up on him. All right. This guy, it was announced to us on social media that he was sick, that we should be praying for him. I seriously went to my knees praying for him. It was 82 then, or 83 or thereabouts. Guess what? The following week, you know what we heard? Maurice Arulo is holding another crusade. From sick bed to crusade. I'm like, what did this guy see? Some of you, it will take God to show you just a glimpse of hell before your passion will rise, but you don't need it. God won't do it for everybody. Like Maurice Arulo now, he was young. God said, go and preach. I will not preach. He said, I will serve God, but I will not preach. God now showing hell. How people are gnashing it. And by the way, let me warn you, there's a lot of teaching online now. In quotes, some, I'm sorry to say, they call themselves Christocentric, and they say hell is Gehenna. It's at the back of Jerusalem. It's one fire that is burning at the back of Jerusalem. See, fire on the mountain. How many years do you have? Hell is real. So when Jesus went to hell, it was the back of Jerusalem they put him, Abby. Better be careful with all these exegesis. There is a burning hell. You know hell, burning one. And that is the last place you want your enemies to go. And this is why you have to go all out for them. See, let me be honest with you. Some people will be grateful for eternity because of you in heaven. For Maurice Arulo, God had to show him hell. So much that even on his sick bed, he was going for crusade. But you don't have to be shown hell. And by the way, if you're waiting for it, it won't show it. You remember in the book of Luke 16? The guy, the rich man and Lazarus, the guy was like, let me go up and tell my brothers how they will repent. He says, no, they have Moses and Elijah. That means they have preachers there. So God is not going to send anyone from hell to preach. All this, Sister Linda, all this, I don't know what you're looking for. See, put your sit your house in the church. Let them teach you. You'll be running up and down. See, this is, you see, this is how we used to twist people in the occult world. We twist them like this. This is the book of Moses. Then there's a, somebody said there's a lost book in the Bible. Have you read the one that is not lost? Have you read it? Do you understand it yet? Just curiosity. Some folks too, out of passion, or I say, and they want to press into God. They want, we have seen the Father, we have seen Jesus. Now we want to see the Holy Ghost. We want to see the Holy Ghost. Let's go 5 days, dry into the wood. Let's go into the bush and pray. There's a kind of tongue of angel. We want to see the Holy Ghost. Listen, you are ignorant. When you receive Christ, you receive the Father. Didn't you see the song? Christ in me, Holy Ghost in me. Father in me, we are. Listen, you have been brought into the Father. Yes, sir. Go and listen to that tape, Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, parts 1-4. These are cardinal truths I taught that is not popular. I'm not saying I'm the only one that taught it, because anybody who tells you what he's teaching, nobody has taught it, is heresy. Yes. Amen. Go and get the tape. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. When you receive Christ, didn't you see what I showed you, Ephesians 1:13? When you receive the gospel and believe, the Holy Ghost came into you. In fact, you wouldn't have known Jesus without the Holy Ghost, because Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. Jesus is God in the flesh, God limited, right? The Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. So I'm here now, I heal the sick today, glory to God. Pastor Benny is there in the US healing the sick too. Someone is in Singapore healing the sick. Come on, talk to me. Someone is in Abeokuta healing the sick. All right? Even right here in Abuja, I'm sure Dr. Paul and Angel will be healing the sick by the same Holy Ghost. But when Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at a time. They killed him, but they never knew he was a seed. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, "Are they known? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory." If I was Satan, I can never be seen. I'm answering, can't you see? Is Satan answering like this? What's that? All right. If I was Satan, I would just say them, leave Jesus, let him be there. That's the way to limit him. He wouldn't have died, but he will be doing crusade all over the world now. But he will only be in Gambia today. Satan will be killing people in, he will be killing people with sickness in the US. He will be in Gambia. After Gambia, he will take airplane. And one day, airplane can crash. But he wouldn't allow it to crash. We just let him be enjoying, because he can only go and be in one place at a time. But when they killed him, he said a corn of wheat. Hiya. When it dies, it abides alone. But when it falls into the force of the ground, it will bring forth harvest of many seeds. That seed is you and I today. We are all over the world today. So he is no longer the only begotten son. He has become first begotten among the brethren. So now we are sons of God. They made a mistake. They made a mistake. Can you see that? So now pick up his passion. Go all out. Live for God. You have one life to live. The spirit in you is crying, Maranatha. Somebody shout, Maranatha! Maranatha! Rise on your feet, everybody.